speaking on this program is Brother Gary Cawley.
Indeed, no guidance in the world is better than the Word of God. It is that which is able to direct our steps. The psalmist said, "Thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light unto my pathway." And if you would have the right way to live, that must be your desire also. In John 8:32, Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." When we worship in spirit and in truth, it means that we worship with the proper attitude, in harmony with that which is revealed in the Word of God. We are not allowed to add to these things, nor to remove from them, lest we bring upon ourselves the disapproval of God. In Revelation 22, verse 18 and 19, he said, "I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto them, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the prophecy of this book, God shall take away his part out of the tree of life and out of the holy city, which are written in this book." So we do not want to add to nor take from, but rather study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. For our study today, I read the words of the Apostle Paul in Philippians 1, verses 9 through 11. Well, in actuality, let's begin with verse 8. It says, "For God is my record, how greatly I long for you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." Now we recognize these to be the words of the Apostle Paul as he writes to the church at Philippi. Of course, they had supported and helped him throughout all of his labors, and they had always increased in their own love and in their devotion unto the Lord, and for this Paul was very thankful. He wants to know and call God to record that he wants them to know that they are indeed always in his prayers and that he longs after them according to the love of Jesus Christ his Lord. And he prayed for them that their love might abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Oftentimes men do not connect the thought of love with knowledge and judgment, and yet it is connected here, and very rightly so. My friends, if we love, we're going to know the truths of the Word of God in order that we may not go against those things that are therein revealed. And if we grow in judgment, we will not refuse to say what is right and what is wrong, but we will discern between the good and the evil and walk only uprightly before the Lord. Paul wanted them to do this so that they might approve all things that were excellent, those things that were acceptable and right in the sight of God, and that they may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. Have you ever wondered about the word sincere? It's an important word. It means, of course, some very important things to Christians especially. And so as we think about the word sincere, sincerity is a fundamental virtue, of course, of religion. If it is not there, then religion is vain. It absolutely is essential, of course, to right relationships with God then, and to building interpersonal relationships in the family or in the business or at school or anywhere we are. Don't you like to be around someone who is sincere? And don't you despise to be around someone who is insincere? Sincerity will be the subject then of our study today. As we read in Philippians 1, verses 8 through 11, of course here Paul wanted them to be sincere. He prayed that they might be. And when we take moments into consideration of sincerity and the fundamentality of it in every virtue of salvation and religion, then it has to be agreed that this is a very important subject. Perhaps you're thinking that basic to everything the Savior taught is love. And of course that's true. But the Scriptures also teach us in Ephesians 6:24 and other places that even love can be insincere. There is nothing more tragic than insincere love, pretended love, that love that is not real. So even more basic to Christianity than love is actually sincerity. And so this is true, in spite of the fact that it's nowhere recorded in the gospel that Jesus ever spoke the word sincere. But sincere, sincerity, and sincerely appear only 9 times in the entire King James Revelation, and only 3 times in the Old Testament, and were never used by our Lord. But it means proved in the sunlight. It means the sunlight or to judge. And so it means to judge in the sunlight. You know, when we look at things in the darkness of a home, we oftentimes find it looking quite different when we step out into the sunlight. The ancient shopping centers were very poorly lighted, we're told, and the customers often found it necessary to take their merchandise out into the sunlight and to inspect it for flaws and imperfections before they bought it. So if the pottery or the glassware or the cloth should stand the test of the sunlight, then it was said to be sincere. And that's how the word came into use. You know, you may be thinking it's strange that if this is the most basic virtue of Christianity, that Christ never used the word. But think for a moment, my friends, of the vice that Jesus denounced most frequently. And in the strongest of terms, it's the opposite of sincerity, isn't it? It is hypocrisy. And that word is a very ugly word, actually, but one that carries the meaning of pretending, making believe, not sincere. And it's very interesting that this word is used 26 times in the New Testament. And of those 26 times, Jesus used it 23 times. So originally the word hypocrite was a good word. It meant a reader, a reciter, or a play actor. And in the days before Christ, when there was no printing press or books or plays, they were not readily available to the public. Then we see that copies were rare and very expensive. So the people often gathered in the theaters to listen to a skilled reader, or to read or recite or act out the best literature of the day. But by the time of the Messiah, because of these actors were found not to be the kind of characters that they were acting out on the stage, the word had fallen into disrepute. And Jesus is often heard of saying, "Be not as the hypocrites, do not do as the hypocrites do. Woe unto you hypocrites." He referred to them as whited sepulchres, if you remember, in Matthew 23, which he said indeed appear beautifully outwardly, but within they're full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. A hypocrite, then, is not the kind of person on the inside that he parades himself to be on the outside. And so Jesus teaches us to be not play actors about our faith, but to be very genuine in our faith, to be sincere. And that's what each of us should strive very diligently to be. Jesus didn't say much about sincerity, but he certainly denounced its opposite, didn't he? Very vigorously, and in the most scathing of terms. We don't like negative preaching sometimes today, people say. In fact, we prefer a positive approach in all discussions, don't we? But in this instance, as well as in many others, the master teacher was indeed negative in his teaching. There's a lot of play acting, I think, and pretending. There's a lot of deceitfulness going on in virtually every segment of our society today. Certainly we could not deny that in politics there's a lot of hypocrisy. But there's also hypocrisy in business. And among families oftentimes we find hypocrisy, do we not? And, well, we'd like to think that that isn't common among church people, among Christians, among those who pretend to be what they ought to be. But that may be just wishful thinking. You know, one of the charges most commonly lodged against the church is that there are too many hypocrites in it. Is that true, my friends? Well, perhaps it is. I hope that it is not, but sometimes I'm afraid it may be. If there were only one, that would be too many. You know, we have every right to expect Christians to be sincere. And the disappointment is so great when we just find one that proves us to think otherwise, that the problem is magnified in our minds, and then all church members, it seems, become suspect. It would be foolish to try to deny or even justify the pretense of hypocrites in the church, but it's equally as foolish to judge all of Christ's people by one. It is equally wrong and foolish to judge Christ's apostles just by Judas, isn't it? Yet Judas was a hypocrite. Well, wherever we find it, insincerity is to be recognized for the evil that it is. There's nothing about religion that is of any value if it isn't characterized by genuineness. It must be so. When asked by a critic what was the first commandment of the law, Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all of thy mind. Matthew 22, verse 37. Well, love of God is the first commandment of religion, isn't it? That's the beginning place. And that's the beginning where we must be sincere. It's difficult to imagine how a person could love God insincerely, but it can be done and is oftentimes done. We know it can be because in the very last verse of Paul's letter to the Christians at Ephesus, he said, Grace be unto you, or be with all them that love our Lord Jesus Christ in sincerity. Now that implies that some people pretend to love the Lord, but really do not. Well, how can we know if our love for Him is sincere? Well, here's a little test. Jesus said, If you love me, keep my commandments. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And furthermore, he said, If a man love me, he will keep my words. John 14:15, and verse 20 and verse 23. He also once asked his disciples in Luke 6:46, Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? You know, it is indeed a terrible thing to see one who pretends to be what he is not. And those who say, I love the Lord, I love the Lord, I really love the Lord, and I'm hopeful that that is true, but sincerity, my friends, must be tested. And as we observe the ways of those who say they love the Lord and actually do not because they don't keep His commandments, then that's insincere. You know, the person who says, oh, I love Jesus, and doesn't do what He says, isn't being exactly genuine about that matter, to say the least, is he? We need to show more sincerity in our love for the Lord. Likewise, we need to cut out the pretense about our love for one another. You know, Romans 12:9 says simply, Let love be without hypocrisy. The American Standard Translation, of course, is different from the King James, but they both say the same, dissimulation or hypocrisy. And so love is to be genuine. The idea that we get from this is that we can't be ingenuine with each other and expect the Lord to be pleased. In the case that with the Lord, genuine love for husband or wife or child or parent or employer or employee or friend or business associate isn't measured by how many times we say it, but by our actions, isn't it? And it's good to say it all right. As is often done, we're reminded of the old fellow whose wife, after many years of marriage, asked him if he still loved her. And he replied, I told you when I married you I loved you, and if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. Well, that's about the way many of us live, and later we regret that we have not done more in expressing our love. But in these things, sincerity is such an important thing. The Bible teaches it. Jesus spoke it. We should never forget it. And we must do those things that are in harmony with sincerity.